I want to tell you how old I actually am. When I was growing up, a hoe was a backyard tool. Then I got a little bit older, and a hoe became a kind of person that was seedy and trampy. And then I got even older, and a hoe was a backyard tool again.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
If you hold on something long enough, it all comes back.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, hello, good morning, hi, good evening, whatever. Whatever. Oh, man. How you doing? How is everything with you? Are you all right? Seriously, are you all right? Because, are you okay? Man. Is it me, or are you leaning a little bit to the left? Not politically. It's just, are you actually, like, leaning to the left a little bit? Is it me? Maybe I'm leaning a little bit to the right. Not politically once more. God, I would never do that politically. Oh, my God. I bumped into another person yesterday. I'm like human bumper cars. I'm just bumping into people. Hey, what are you doing bumping into me? I just bump into people. And conversation went toward Donald Trump again. And this person said, oh, what an asshole. If I had a dollar every time I bumped into somebody, Trump came up and they called him an asshole, I have like $2. I'd be rich. If I were a rich man. There's a part of that song where they say, if I were a bitty bitty rich or a buddy buddy rich or a bitty bitty bitch, I can't tell what they're saying. And I've listened to the song 1,000 times. They don't mumble. They're not rap artists. They're very, very clear, but I can't figure out what they're saying. Can't figure it out at all. And that's when I realized that whoever writes lyrics for songs, I don't give a shit. You can talk about poop for all I care, but if the melody is hummable, you know, if you walk, you hear a song, and then like 2 minutes later, you're going, oh, damn, that song's in my head. I can't get it out of my head. There's a song I heard called I'm an Asshole. Seriously, it's an actual song. And I couldn't get it out of my head for the longest time. And I'm walking down the street saying to myself, I'm an asshole. And people are turning around and agreeing with me. It was a very odd experience. I don't think the lyrics and songs really, who cares, man? I'm serious. I don't think anybody cares. You know, when people say, oh, the words to that song are just so beautiful, they're just so meaningful. I'm sorry I didn't hear them. I'm sorry I wasn't listening. I heard the song, but the words in one ear, out the other. By the way, what an odd expression that is. That means that you have no brains. It means, because if you can see clearly from one ear and out the other, there ain't much going on upstairs there. So, I heard her say that. It just went in one ear, went out the other, because I have no brain inside. It's just kind of putting yourself down when you do that. Look, I know this is a confusing program to you. You just tuned into a show just to hear something, and instead you get this crap. Well, I apologize. I just have one important question for you. One important question, only that'll probably go in one ear and out the other.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
This is very, very, very important, and I want you to listen so carefully. Let it go in one ear and stay in that ear. Yesterday, everything's based on something that happened yesterday with me. I could be lying. This could have happened 2 days ago, but this was actually yesterday. I saw a man, wait, gets better. Saw a man walking around. It was hot outside. It was about 85 degrees, walking around, and he had sandals on. That's fine. But inside those sandals was a pair of white socks. White socks and sandals. And I'll tell you something. You don't deserve to live. You may have a family. You may be a perfectly nice guy. I really don't know. But you're breaking one of the biggest rules of clothing ever devised by man. I've seen pictures of Jesus walking in the desert. Yeah, they were the first pictures. It was a Kodak. The first pictures ever taken of Jesus. I don't think a lot of you know that back then they actually had biblical photographers. Oh, yeah. They worked for the Romans and other people. And it was very antiquated. The cameras were made of wood. Very, very old. They had stereopticons then and everything. But these people would walk around and they were like paparazzi in a way, only they didn't have paparazzi then, so they just called them annoying camera people. And some of the first pictures ever taken were not of Lincoln, they were of Jesus. And there's a few shots of Jesus walking in the desert. Yeah, there are a few. There aren't many. There aren't many. There's a couple of pictures hanging in the Louvre. And then there's this shroud, but in all cases, if you look carefully in these pictures that were taken back, back around 20 AD, around 20 AD, Jesus is walking through the desert and he's got sandals on. But he doesn't have any white socks on. And that was the fashion statement that changed an entire concept of humanity. And yesterday, this one bald-headed schmuck is walking around wearing white socks and sandals. And I felt like tapping him on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, I got a question for you, sir. What would Jesus do if he saw you walking around with white socks, wearing sandals? I think he'd be pissed. He'd just be pissed. I don't think he'd be able to turn water into wine for at least a couple of weeks. He'd be so pissed at you. You don't wear white socks with sandals. As a matter of fact, you basically don't wear white socks at all unless you're working out in a gym or jogging. Other than that, no. My mother used to tell me that you wore white socks in case your feet bled, and that way you could tell. My mother, a nice woman, things went in one ear and out the other, because in between, a lot of stuff didn't make sense. Rest her soul. But this white sock thing, I don't know. It's got to stop. My mother also told me to always wear clean underpants. Did your mother tell you this? Wear clean underpants in case you're ever in an accident? And that's, is that so the paramedics wouldn't say, oh, look at the streaks on this guy's underpants. I'm not bringing him to the hospital. He's going to get our ambulance all streaked up. He's going to get shit all over the seats. I ain't putting him in this gurney. Give him the shit gurney. My God, he's got streaks in his underpants. Phew. Give him 2 cc's of Genoa spaghetti and bring him back to life and then yell at him because he's got streaks in his underpants, my God. Didn't your mother ever tell you? Always wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. First of all, the reason you should always wear clean underwear is in case you get lucky and your sexual partner, whom you didn't expect to have sex with that particular moment, tears your pants off and there's a streak on your underpants. That's got to be a mood killer. I don't care. You can have 25 gallon drums of Viagra. It still ain't going to help you if you got one streak on your underpants. It's like a crime scene on a highway. You can see the tire tread marks. You know where you've been. It's obvious. Stop kidding yourself. That's the reason that you change your underpants. In case you're in an accident. Let me tell you something. If I'm in an automobile accident and I have clean underpants, by the time the paramedics get to me, my underpants ain't going to be clean anymore. Crazy stuff my mother came up with. Then she told me not to run with scissors. Like I was running some type of scissor marathon or something. I don't think I ever ran with scissors. I may have moved in an expeditious manner. But I don't think I ever like purposely said, all right, on your mark, get set. You got your scissors? Come on, let's go. I never ran with scissors, but apparently that's what she told me. And everything, when I was a kid, everything could put my eye out. Everything. Watch that soft-boiled egg. It could put your eye out. Hey, don't touch your sister. She could put your eye out. Hey, don't pick that up. It could put your, don't write with a pencil. It could put your eye out. Crazy stuff. Apparently, I left the doors open. Front door, back door, side door. Because my mother kept accusing me of living in a barn. We were fairly well off to the point where we didn't have to live in a barn. We had apartments and houses. We were well off. Didn't have to live in a barn with horses and pigs and cows and goats. Goats would have been cool, man. Goats would have been cool. I wouldn't have had to mow the lawn every weekend. Just let the goats loose. People do that. They actually, goats will eat your grass. I don't know how much of a nice manicured lawn it's going to look like. I think it's going to be little chew marks all over the place, but people do that. Anyway, I wasn't brought up in a barn. No, I wasn't. But my mother kept asking me if I was. And I found that quite odd. Why would my own mother ask me where I was brought up and accuse me of being brought up in a barn? That's insulting. You know, I got to tell you something. You're not my son. I don't know where you brought up. Were you brought up in a barn? Because I don't know who you are. I have no idea. We never lived in a barn, but apparently you did. Who is your real mother? And of course, my mother had that gruff voice like that. Anyway, I never lived in a barn. I hate hay. I don't like hay for 2 reasons. One, because it's not stable. Makes me sneeze. Just hay all over the place. Messy. You got hay all over the barn. What, do you live in a barn? You got hay all over the barn. What, do you live in a barn? So many people have asked me if I've lived in a barn. Do I look like I live in a barn? Do I look like I belong on a farm? I do not. I do not belong in a farm. I wouldn't milk a cow or frisk a chicken. That's, by the way, which is chicken fricassee, by the way. Did you know that? That's where that came from. Live in a barn. What do you live in a barn? Although I must say, I look good in a cowboy hat. That's the one article of clothing I look wonderful in, a cowboy hat. Man, it covers my head. And it makes me tilt the cowboy head a little bit to the side. And I put a cigarette in my mouth. I don't light it. I don't light it because you don't do that these days. If you light a cigarette these days, you're socially unacceptable. You cannot. You have to have a electronic device in your mouth. I don't know what the hell that means. You can't do that. You can't. Stuff can't dangle from your mouth anymore. I'm sorry. Those days are over. Those days are looking cool of having those little. Do you remember the movie? The fuck's wrong with me today, man? I can't stay on one subject. Remember Clint Eastwood?
Hey, make my day. What do you live in a? You live in a barn.
Clint Eastwood used to have this little thin cigar that used to dangle from his lip. And I'm not gay, but I would have fucked him because that was so cool. He just looked so cool. Unshaven. A little cigar dangling from his mouth, that little twinkle in his blue eyes, that half seductive voice, streaky underpants. Man, the guy had it all. All of it he had. He had all of it. So don't wear socks with sandals.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
They call him the big dog of the podcast world. And by they, I mean him. He calls himself the big dog of the podcast world. But thankfully, at least he stopped referring to himself in the third person because that shit was getting annoying. Carry on, big dog. It's all about you, big dog.
Big dog. Well, now you've got a taste of what this show is about. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, which is part of my name. The and show are surrounding my name. It identifies the program in a more distinct manner. Tells you who does the damn thing. I do this every weekday. Holy crap, huh? I do this every weekday in the early morning hours, so you can enjoy it any time of day that you wish. It's like a radio on demand, this internet radio thing. I prefer it to the other type of radio that keeps folding and dying, this AM radio thing. Boy, that didn't catch on. It's sad how industries are dying. AM radio, man. I mean, eventually you'll be watching all your television show. Comcast, Verizon, Cox Cable. By the way, change your name. Holy crap. I watch one of the, there's a cable company in Rhode Island called Cox Communications. When one cock talks to the other one or something like that. It's COX, Cox Communication. And in the commercial, there's a lady. And she's talking about how what wonderful reception she gets her cable channels with Cox Communications. And she actually says in the commercial, and you can't be this stupid. She says in the commercial, I just love my Cox. And it's like, what? You can't say I love Cox in a commercial and not have people go, what? I mean, I don't do poop humor. I mean, I don't sit here and go, eh, the name of the
the company is Cox. Isn't that funny? That's also what we call the penis.
I don't do that kind of humor. I mean, I there's a store, there's a wholesale club called BJ's Wholesale here in New England. I mean, I'm not a child. I don't go to BJ's Wholesale. I don't go to BJ's, stand in the middle of the place, drop my pants, and yell out any takers. I don't do that. And by the way, there usually, almost always, are no takers. And I lose my membership. True. It's absolutely true. But I do love to drink.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years? A true beer drinking experience? Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap?
Oh my God.
Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Falkenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Falkenhalter. It's beer.
Listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
I am very scared of Windows 10. I'm not scared of 10 Windows. I'm scared of Windows 10. I have a computer. I believe most of you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this program. Because you listen to it on a computer. Duh. They've come out with Windows 10. I don't know who they are. Microsoft has come out with Windows 10. Don't recall Windows 9. Don't know where the fuck that went. Don't know how popular that was, if there even was a Windows 10. That's like you're on a highway and you're driving and you go, all right, we're going to get off at exit 10, and we're on exit 7 now, so we're 3 exits away. All right, here comes exit 8. Look, here's a sign after exit 8. It says, no exit 9. And you got to wonder, why isn't there an exit 9? It's not a superstitious number. Why isn't there an exit 9? It's because some engineer in the highway department got drunk one day and fucked up.
Joe, come here for a second. You didn't plan this highway exit thing too well. You got an exit 7. You got an exit 8. You got an exit 10. But there's no exit 9. Do you know how to count, Joe? Where's exit 9?
Oh, crap. I don't know. I figured it all wrong. I meant to put exit 9 in, and I went right from 8 to 10. I am so sorry. Hey, how about if we make a sign that says no exit 9?
Oh, yeah, that'll solve everything. We look like a bunch of assholes. We were commissioned to build a highway with exits off of it. And we came to you, Joe, and we said, look, your only job here is to number the exits. We never see you. We know you like to drink a lot. And then we come back a month later, and there's no exit 9.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
This is very embarrassing for us. I'm afraid we're going to have to let you go.
Why? Because I missed one exit?
Yes. That is really unforgivable. That's what you are. Unforgivable.
I'm sorry. You don't think the sign is enough?
No. Every time someone drives down the highway and sees the sign, there's no exit 9, they're going to think we're a bunch of morons.
Anyway, I don't remember a Windows 9. I think they screwed up. If there was an exit 9, if there was a Windows 9, I apologize, but I don't recall. I know there was Windows 8, and I think there was a Windows 8.1, maybe even an 8.2, and then they kind of like went right to 10. There's no exit 9. Again, unless it was so unpopular that nobody downloaded it. And now Windows presents Windows 9. All right, everybody, Windows 9. And then it was like dead silence. Nobody downloaded it at all. You know, on the app screen, it says 10 million downloads, 50 million downloads, Windows 9, 2 downloads, 2 pissed off people downloads. Windows 9, it sucks. It sucks. I can't wait for 10. So Microsoft comes out with Windows 10, and now they're starting to advertise it to all of us, all computer users who have Windows. You can download Windows 10, and it's supposed to be just wonderful. It's supposed to, Windows 10, when you sign on, will actually give you an orgasm. This is how specifically wonderful it is. And apparently it's got that Siri thing baked into it. They don't call it Siri. They call it some other name that you can't pronounce or ever remember. I don't know why they just don't call Siri. What the you know, why not just, hey, Babs. Hey, Margaret. Hey, Margaret, open up email. I mean, why does it have to be these convoluted names? It's some weird names like Bethesda or Belunda or what the fuck. Anyway, they if you have a microphone in your screen or your laptop or something, you can actually you can do the Siri thing with Windows 10, which is pretty cool if you're into having relationships with computer voices. Good luck in that therapy session. I've fallen in love with my operating system. Oh man, you got a problem. You got a big problem. I want to buy a suit. I'm dating Siri tomorrow. Siri's an operating system. Oh, I don't care. She's really nice to me. She does everything I ask her to do. We're going to take a drive next week and get off at exit 9. It's going to be wonderful. So Microsoft is telling me to download Windows 10, and it's supposed to be a wonderful operating system, much quicker, and a lot of people miss the start menu as opposed to the little stupid squares that flash around. Apparently these two are married together. I have no idea. I don't have it, but I'm scared of it, because when I downloaded Windows 8, that was when they got off of the start menu, and it was like a totally different look, and I didn't like the look. And I, like 10 billion other people, started Googling, how do I get rid of 8 and go backwards back to 7? And you couldn't do it. You just, I guess there might have been a way to do it, but you could have fucked up your computer, and I'm not into doing that. I mean, that's like the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. There have been worse things, like attending funerals. That's been worse than having a new operating system and trying to get back to the older one. I mean, that's not quite as bad. So because I still have an AOL account. I have quite a few AOL email accounts. So I'm not the kind of person that changes that drastically, that frequently. Believe me. But I haven't changed my underpants since 1968, and they're still fresh smelling. Change has not come easy to me. I do things until they're not doable anymore, and even then, I'm still doing them. So I'm change is not easy for me. As a matter of fact, there's some philosophers that said the only thing that you can count on is change or something, or count your change before it hatches. I have no idea what the guy said, quite obviously. So I'm not downloading Windows 10 because I'm scared that I can't go back. It's like lending somebody your car and then they drive away. You kind of wonder, am I ever going to see my car again? That's why I don't valet park, by the way. Most people think valet parking is a very, very rich, snotty thing to do. Like, yes, take my car, James, and park it, if you will, and I'll beckon you when I come out of the party. That's the way it is in the movies. In real life, some pimply-faced little child bastard comes up to you and says, hey, give me the keys to your expensive car. I obviously can't drive. I'm not even old enough to drink or vote, but I will commandeer your $40,000 vehicle. And believe me, it'll be safe parking under the bridge near where the bums live, under the bridge, and I'll park your car there. And it'll be safekeeping under the bridge. God. Oh, my God. You know, you don't think that. You're giving a total stranger $40,000 property. Here, I don't know who you are. I haven't signed any documents, but here's the keys to my car. See ya. Send me a card from Mexico, please. Enjoy the ride. And I'll just keep my fingers crossed that when I come out of the event that you're still alive and know where my car is. And on top of that, I'm going to tip you $10 and pay you $40 just to do this thing for me. I'm going to give you $40 to take my car on a joyride. Here you go. It's just absurd. It's ridiculous. These kids should be coming up with there should be a document stapled to their chest showing that they're bonded and insured and that they can't take your car. But you don't ask for that. They just give them your keys. I've always thought, you know, one day if I'm down and out and I need transportation, all I have to do is just dress up a little bit, stand in front of a hotel, wait for someone to get out of their car, run up to the car and go, valet parking, can I take your car, please? Sure, here's my keys. Thank you. Bye-bye. can you tell me how to operate the wipers, please? And have a nice day. I'm just stealing your car, and you'll never see it nor me again. And then when the cops come, hey, this pimply-faced kid stole my car. Posing as a valet. Oh, what did he look like, sir? He was pimply-faced. Oh, well, that narrows it down to every teenager. Thank you very much. What was he wearing? Stuff that a valet parker would wear. And what would that be, sir? I don't know. He took my car, though. Did you leave the keys in the car? Did you leave the door unlocked by mistake? What happened? I gave him the keys. Oh, nice move, bozo. Nice move, rich asshole. I only go to self-park garages where I can put the car in the space, leave it there, and when I come back, after searching for 2 hours to try to find my car, there it is in the space I put it in. Nobody touched my car. Nobody took my keys. That's parking to me. By the way, why is parking so expensive? It should only be like 20 cents. Everybody's got to put their car somewhere. The nearest city to me is Boston. To park a car in a garage in Boston is $3,000. $3,000 for 4 hours. It's not that much, but it's damn close to it. It can run about between 20 and 40 bucks. Ron, 40 bucks to park your car for a few hours? Yeah, in some places, yeah. Especially the valet parking where you give your keys to the person. The scariest part of valet parking, besides the fact that you'll probably never see your car in that same condition again, is when the pimply-faced kid gets into your car and you go, "Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Here's your ticket. Thank you, sir." And you start walking into the hotel or wherever you're going, and then you hear this tire screeching behind you and you turn around. It's the fucking pimply-faced kid burning rubber with your car. It's just, oh no, oh, what did I do? Oh no, what did I do? It's just, I can't handle it, man. I'm supposed to do it, but I don't want to. Let's talk about food. Let's talk about sex. You want to talk about sex or do you want to talk about food? It's up to you. I'll do both. I'll talk about sexy food. Do you want to talk about food? Do you want to talk about sex? Which one? Which one do you want to talk about? Seriously, I don't have much time. Make a decision. Want to talk about food? You want to talk about sex? How about sexy food? You want to talk about sex? You want to talk about food? Come on, decide. What do you want to do? You want to talk about sex?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex now to the people at home.
Right, that's enough. That's really so much enough. It's not funny. Let's not talk about sex because now you're annoying me. Let's talk about food. Let's talk about food, baby. who else? Who's better to talk about food than the hungry girl? Oh, man, what a wonderful woman.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Lisa. Lisa Lillian joins us. She's the hungry girl. Welcome to the New England area.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome. Well, it's always fun to talk to you because I'm always trying to lose weight perpetually, and I know for some females it's even tougher than it is for men, and we feel guilty about it and all that. And then you come along and you say, yeah, you know, be careful what you eat, but, you know, you can do some guilt-free stuff here. So it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people think of weight loss as daunting or scary, but yeah. I embrace it and I have fun with it.
Good, because we all want to be healthier and look better, too. Actually, there's The Hungry Girl to the Max. It's the ultimate guilt-free cookbook by title alone. You got to love this.
Yeah.
And it's a gigantic book. My God, you could, like, if you sat on it on a chair, you'd be like 10 feet taller.
I know. I should carry it around with me because I'm only 5 feet tall. I should just stand on it at all times. But it is. It's almost like a... It can help you. You can lift weights with it. It's a very large
lift
book.
Weights. So it serves a multi-purpose.
Absolutely.
Okay. We know that July was National Cheesecake Month, and when you say the word cheesecake, people go, oh, I wish I could have that, but it's probably not a good idea for me. But you say, nay, there's ways of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Cheesecake Day was July 30th, yeah. And in celebration of a brand new amazing product that I partnered with, Fiber One Cheesecake Bars, they're turning in August into Cheesecake Month, so for the whole month we're celebrating cheesecake, and as you say, cheesecake is something that people tend to avoid if they're trying to lose weight, yeah. But these new bars are incredible. They have 150 calories, they have 5 grams of fiber, which is 20% of your daily fiber. Uh-huh. They come in salted caramel and strawberry, and they are so decadent and so delicious You can take them on the go. Kids love them. They're a total cheesecake home run, and again, completely guilt-free.
And the good thing about these bars is that they kind of fill you up to the point where you don't feel like you have to have 10 of them.
Well, that, you know what? You hit a good point there. Portion control is key. Mm-hmm. And if somebody gives you a whole cake or puts a whole cake in front of you, you're more likely to either cut a piece that's too big or just eat two slices. But when you have a bar that's pre-portioned, chances are you're going to open the bar, finish the bar, and these are really satisfying. The added fiber actually helps keep you feeling full, so it's the perfect size.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I know that you write articles for Weight Watchers and people and all that, and I guess Weight Watchers' big thing is portion control.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And everybody tells you portion control, portion control. It's the number one message we hear. And you're right, I write articles for Weight Watchers and people, and I have my Hungry Girl daily emails. Yeah. But I try to give people the chance and the ability to eat large portions for the same amount of calories. So I like to supersize foods, and so that's also one of my specialties. So people feel satisfied, and they feel like they're eating a lot. It's just, it's all about eating, you know, the right things.
You know, it's smart, because you were talking about a pie, and instead of using the graham cracker crust as a pie, just sprinkle a small portion of that. Don't do it as crust. Sprinkle the crumbs on top to taste like a crust. And I thought, that's ingenious. That really works.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I always call those upside-down pies.
Yeah.
So you don't need the whole crust. As you say, you just sprinkle some crumbs. You get the same flavors, and it's just as satisfying.
Wonderful. How did you get so involved in this and become the Hungry Girl?
Well, you know, I grew up with a yo-yo dieting mom, and I was always trying to lose weight and struggling with my weight like a lot of people, you know, from the time I was a teenager. And I became a little bit of a foodologist, is what I call myself, and I'm definitely a foodie, and I love to gossip about food. And I just, for whatever reason, I just became that person that people would call and say, hey, how did you make that coffee that had 30 calories? Or what's your favorite ice cream that you can find on shelves that don't have a lot of calories? And you know, after gathering all that knowledge, I thought, well, why not share it with the rest of the world? And so I launched Hungry Girl back in 2004, and I'm happy I did.
Wonderful. That's the worst and most frustrating thing about diets, is that you feel like you're in a box and you can't do this and you can't do that, and you actually get anxious about it, because on one shoulder, the little person is saying, oh, you only live once. You're going to die someday. You might as well enjoy yourself. And on the other shoulder, it goes, yeah, but you want to be healthy, and you really want to look good, and it's good for you. You know, it's a struggle in that way.
You're right. It is a struggle. And so one of the things that I tell people is to never allow themselves to get overly hungry. So you always have to keep snacks with you at all times, so there's not too many hours that go by. The hungrier you are, the worse your choices are going to be. So you can get hungry, but once you're overly hungry, you're just going to eat whatever's in front of you, and that makes it harder to avoid that little voice.
There's 650 recipes in this book, and on the front page, almost half of them are desserts that look decadent, and I'm sure they taste decadent, but they're not.
Yeah, I mean, I try to give people what they want. So whether it's telling them what to find on shelves, you know, like the new cheesecake bars, or making things at home, I try to give people the ability to eat chocolate or eat whatever they think that they're not supposed to be eating when they're losing weight by swapping things out. Like, you know, one of my favorite things to do is just take a box of cake mix and add some pumpkin to it, and you bake that up, and you've got a guilt-free dessert. Or, you know, for the lazier people who don't feel like baking, just go to the store, and there's always good products that you can find right there on shelves that you can take with you. And I just like to give people options. I don't want people to feel restricted or scared or unhappy about watching what they're eating.
And that's exactly what happens, though. That's exactly the way you feel. At least you understand that. Is it more difficult for women to lose weight than it is for men?
I don't know that I can make a blanket statement like that. Yeah. In some ways, it might be, because women probably, especially as they get older, they're burning fewer calories. Usually, they're smaller and shorter, and they burn fewer calories.
Yeah.
But the good news is women like to plan more than men.
Yeah.
I know men are just like, if they're hungry, it's 4 o'clock. Even if they're eating dinner at 6, they're just going to eat a big sandwich or whatever's there. They don't like to think as much. Whereas, and again, this is just me saying from experience, the people that I know, like women are planners. They think about what they're going to eat for the whole day. And they gossip about it. They call their friends. They think about, you know, they pack their food a little bit more than men do. So yeah. In that way, it probably helps them, and it's probably a little easier.
Well, they seem to be a little more self-conscious about their appearance. And if there's a party, they'll be concerned about fitting into that dress that they want to wear. A guy would never say, oh, there's a party coming up. I want to fit into that suit. Yeah, you don't hear that. You don't hear that a
lot.
That's
true.
Okay.
No, that's true. You'd think it was a little bit weird if you did, but yeah. I don't know. I'm sure they stress about it in their own ways.
Yeah.
Well, right, Ron?
Right, Ron. Thank you. Hey, okay. All right, so we got a few places to go here. We can learn about the whole cheesecake thing, and we can learn about Fiber One, and we can learn about the Ultimate Guilt-Free Cookbook. So give us some places to go.
Yes, for more information on those new amazing bars and for a chance to win them, you can check out a sweepstakes and all the information that's on the Fiber One Facebook page, mm-hmm. So definitely check that out. And then for more information about Hungry Girl and to sign up for the daily emails, people can go to hungry-girl.com.
Wow, that's great. There you have it. Thank you so much for your time today. It is a wonderful book, and it's certainly your dollar's worth because, it's huge, and it's just got tons of ideas and recipes, and it breaks it all down for you, and it's done in a fun way as well, kind of almost like a comic book kind of look.
Thank you.
Yeah, and great pictures, too, and my goodness, if you have pictures of food, I'm there. I mean, you know, it's not as good as eating it, but it comes damn close.
Almost.
Lisa, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Happy Cheesecake Month.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Lisa. Hey, you hungry girl. Hey, you hungry? You hungry girl? Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day, wonderful evening, whatever. I'll be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. Please come by tomorrow. I count on you. Now, to see if you were paying attention, I'm going to ask you 10 questions about things that happened on today's show. Are you ready?
Whatever.
Oh, never mind.